Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Today, I'd like to comment on some of Ohio's wild edible and medicinal plants, which are native perennials and also useful for food and medicine. They also are ornamental and beneficial to wildlife. Remember, we need to support pollinators for sure, but we can also support ourselves with these plants. Let's start out with American Sweet Flag, which is restricted to the northern half of North America and is listed as potentially threatened on the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Rare Native Ohio Plants status list. The rootstocks of this aromatic plant can be used as a natural insecticide and in perfume. These plants were also used by Native Americans for various medicinal purposes. Sweet Flag can be used to slow stormwater runoff and also provides upland slope buffer stabilization. It's easily propagated from seed or by cuttings, which are very easily rooted. Now, primarily, Sweet Flag was and still is known by Native American people and early settlers for its medicinal value. Although the preparation of the species and the ailments it treated varied somewhat among the tribes, the rhizomes were the most commonly used part. Sweet Flag is reported as giving instant relief in stomach problems. It'll clear a swollen and uncomfortable stomach and also relieve headaches related with weak digestion. It clears flatulence and colic and also increases your appetite. Sweet Flag root is sometimes burnt and ground as a paste and mixed with coconut oil. It's then applied on your belly in the case of pain. Sweet Flag's root or rhizome is used medicinally to also treat colds, sore throats, and many other ailments. The rhizome is quite potent, and a small amount, less than 6 inches, is enough for an entire season. The best time to harvest Sweet Flag root is in the fall after the first frost. Small pieces of the fresh or dried rhizome can be chewed on or made into a tea. Now, please note that because they are such a strong medicine, even fresh rhizomes should be dried for several days before use. Now, remember, sweet root is a very important and sacred medicine to Native American people and should be treated with respect. Sweet Flag also provides habitat for waterfowl. My second plant, Virginia waterleaf, is a common plant in a moist deciduous forest. It's also called Shawnee salad and sometimes John's cabbage in reference to the edible tender young shoots. Waterleaf is named after the white patterning found on many leaves, which gives the plant a bleached appearance as if it has been stained by water. The scientific name of the genus Hydrophyllum, which is the family that waterleaf belongs to, means water leaf in Greek. Its large leaves are deeply toothed and are spotted in late spring and early summer by what appear to be those whitish watermarks. Now, these watermarks will fade as summer progresses. By midsummer, the plant dies back to the ground and is no longer apparent. The lovely white to pale lavender flowers are small, bell-shaped, and the blossoms are borne in clusters with the stamens and pistils protruding out of the flower. This plant is a spreader, and it's a common species throughout Ohio, and it's also found in upland and floodplain forests. Now, as far as eating goes, waterleaf has a bit of a fuzzy texture, but mixed with other leaves or cooked, they're perfectly fine, and to sweeten the deal, they have no bitterness at all. The nectar and pollen of the flowers attracts bumblebees, longhorned bees, cuckoo bees, mason bees, halictid bees, adrenid bees, and bee flies. One adrenid bee is a specialist pollinator of hydrophyllums. Cyphrid flies will also sometimes feed on the pollen of the flowers, but they don't usually do very well with cross-pollination. Now, the foliage might be browsed by white-tailed deer, but it's not a preferred food. The long-tongued bees, like bumblebees, are effective pollinators for this plant. And the waterleaf cuckoo bee, which feeds only on the nectar of the hydrophyllum, is found all across Ohio. Virginia waterleaf was once used to help with several minor health ailments. The chewed root, or decoction of the root, was used for dry lips and sore mouths. It grows well in areas where you find sugar maple, white ash, American beech, and also yellow birch. And many gardeners with the correct environment really enjoy this plant as a ground cover. Virginia waterleaf was widely used by American Indians as a green leafy vegetable. You can eat the leaves raw or cook them. The young leaves are mild tasting and refreshing and make a pleasant addition to a salad bowl or even add it onto your sandwich. The leaves will become bitter with age, so you want to eat the young ones. Some people also use them in baked dishes and smoothies. You can make a tea from the roots, and the tea acts as an astringent and also can be used in treatment of mild diarrhea. To use it as a pot herb, waterleaf is cooked like spinach and seasoned with salt, pepper, and butter. And the young leaves and tender ends of the stems can be cooked for 5 minutes and eaten as a vegetable. My final plant for today is the wild strawberry, which is just starting to bear fruit around here. It's a perennial herbaceous plant, can be found throughout much of the northern hemisphere. Strawberry plants produce runners, which are stems, basically, that grow along the ground and then will find a root, place to root in. Once they take root, a new strawberry plant will begin to grow and the runners will then continue to spread. The wild strawberry plant is easy to grow and eventually spreads to form a nice ground cover about 6 to 12 inches tall. So this is something to consider when you're growing wild strawberries. Give it some space. It's also a cool season plant, which means that it'll grow actively during spring and fall, but often may go dormant in the summer and then again in the winter. The wild strawberry flower prefers sun to maybe a little part shade. It also likes rich soil, and that also needs to be a little bit moist, although it will tolerate slightly dry conditions. If your soil has a lot of clay or drains poorly, you can amend it with a little organic matter to help the wild strawberry. Now, as those runners grow and send up new strawberry plants, you can easily transplant those new plants to different places in your garden. You can divide and transplant in early spring, just as the new growth appears. It's very easy to lift the plants and pull apart the crowns. Wild strawberry has a hairy stem and three coarsely toothed leaflets on a slender stalk, and it closely resembles the domestic strawberry. The fruit, of course, is great fresh. You can make it into jams, you can make it into fruit leather, and it's often dried for winter use. The roots and leaves can be steeped and used as a tea for diarrhea and stomach aches. Wild strawberries are great fresh. They make wonderful jams, jellies, and sauces, and pies, and even fruit soups. Now, if you're considering supporting native wildlife and pollinators, and maybe yourself, you can consider planting a tree or a native plant from Natives in Harmony. We're located at 4652 Township Road 179 near Marengo, Ohio. And we're open on Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays from 12 to 6 p.m. through October. This is Gail Martin signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.